Coventry has always been a city with a rich sporting history. From Olympians such as David Moorcroft, Chelsea Giles and Marlon Devenish, to the Coventry City football team winning the FA Cup in 1987, to the successes of our rugby, netball, hockey teams, to name a few. You'll no doubt be aware that Coventry is a host city for the Commonwealth Games in 2022. But did you also know that the city is hosting the International Children's Games this year? In short, the International Children's Games is a major worldwide sporting event and has recently been hosted in Israel, Lithuania and Taiwan, and next year in South Korea. And this year we have it. In August, more than 1,500 of the best young sporting talents are travelling to the city for 6 days of competition across seven sports. The Games are International Olympic Committee recognised, so as one of the Team Coventry athletes says in the interview you're about to hear, it's the Olympic Games for Children. So to tell me why it is such a big deal for us to have the International Children's Games in Coventry, I'm really pleased to have Councillor Cameron Khan with me, the Cabinet Member for Public Health and Sport, and John Hunt, Service Manager for Sport, Physical Activity and Wellbeing at Coventry City Council, to talk to me around why this is such a momentous time for the city. Hello both, welcome to my podcast.
Thank you, Aaron. I think it's great having you here today. We're very, very excited because I think principally when you've got young children, you've got a great opportunity to give them an inspirational start in life. And I think this could be clearly one of them journeys, maybe to the viewers, but especially to the participants. It'd probably inspire them to maybe reach some really, really massive heights, I hope, in life.
So tell me around how the process for us getting the awards. This is something that I was looking at the list of cities that it's been. These are all over the world. Tell me how we got to Coventry being the host.
So this, I think John would probably be the best person to give through the process, but it's a very, very difficult process. I know there has been gaps in the past, but I think principally we've had some fantastic relations, especially with the former councillor John Mutton, who recently passed away. He had long-standing contacts and very, very good traditional ties with the whole committee. He was also a part of that team. And I think what we did was, because we were very successful in holding this previously, it was only right after the European City of Sport and some of the brilliant accolades, supported by John and his whole team that we received as a city, that we once again, come back with these games, especially after the very, very difficult time with the pandemic. So it was a lot of work involved. But ultimately, with the leaders involved, the deputy leader, Abdul Khan's been leading heavily on this as well. It just goes to show that they've brought us an opportunity for our community to bring our communities together.
And Aaron, we went through the process of bidding with the International Children's Games Committee. So there's a committee that's formed across the world and we submitted a bid. We then hosted a visit with a number of the committee members that came to view Coventry's facilities, look at what our plans were and what our offer was. They obviously had some knowledge of Coventry, as Councillor Khan said, around the history and the relationship that Councillor Mutton had developed over the last 20 plus years. But we also hosted the event in 2005 and were really successful, and it's acclaimed across the world that Coventry's the best games that's ever been delivered. So they were keen to come back here. We developed a compelling bid that was more than just sport. So we also included the importance of the greenest games ever and using a number of things, i.e. green vehicles, we're being more sustainable in our approach. But also it's the first time it's ever been in inclusive games. So we've got people with disabilities taking part for the first time ever. And that's a real strength to us as a city that we will be passing that message on, and hopefully it'll continue in the future.
So inspiring our next generation of Coventrians is something that's really important to me, something through my books. I like to promote the city. Why is it so important for our young people to be interested in sport at a young age?
I think it creates, confidence, something that's very, very important in our community. But I think what I've always tried to do is, especially we've been lucky with some great personalities like David Moorcroft. You know, what we've done is we can show that, can you believe, it's a shame, if it was in this time and era, he would have been the poster boy of the city every day. But because he was in an era where obviously social media and, you know, the TV was limited, I think it just goes to show that anybody can achieve anything. I think that's where I try to drive so much importance. Some of the work we've done with our public health teams as well is we've, through the Health and Wellbeing Board, you know, we've had, you know, the senior most police officer of the city, the senior most health officer, different personalities from universities coming together. And what we've tried to show our, you know, communities, this, you know, at the end of the day, even myself, we're all normal people. you know, you can achieve anything. And I think with young children, it may just inspire them, at least in their life's journey, that they are winners. They are capable of dealing with all the mental health challenges, because that's a real, real difficult time in many young people's lives. They do face serious mental health challenges, you know, with their families, with their friends, different circumstances and different tragedies as well. And some really great things that happen to them. So them things can upset the balance of our young generation. This, you know, through the power of sport, it does build resilience. And it does show that also inequalities, it can help support some of the inequalities, challenges that we've got. People can make some good choices because, you know, they may want to look after their body because they're committed to sport. So I think keeping away from, you know, alcohol, you know, within its limits, and, you know, some other recreational drugs, et cetera, I think it helps, you know, keeping away from certain poor behavior choices in life with the power of sport, because you've got to condition your body to be the best it can.
So the long-term benefits of the Games, as Councillor Khan said, can be on our young people. How about as a city itself? What are the legacy that follows a city hosting the International Children's Games?
So the last time we hosted the event in 2005, I think there was an economic impact of over £3 million just in the city. It's transformational for the young people, as Councillor Khan said, but also for the businesses and the organisations that are helping host it. We've seen the University of Warwick's facilities increase and are absolutely first class for hosting major events and honours, and this is one that fits within that. You've obviously got the Alan Higgs 50 metre pool as part of the event as well, which is a first class swimming facility in the region, in the country. And then we're doing some different things that are having a big impact. For example, the 3-on-3 basketball that will be hosted in the middle of Broadgate for 5 days, that will be an amazing experience and a brilliant way to encourage people to come to the city centre and see some basketball that they've never seen before. So we'll be bringing people into the city as part of that. And we're working with so many different partners and so many local providers that are helping to make the Games happen. We're really seeing that in terms of it being developed, and we've got local sponsors that are helping us as well. So a big thank you to all of them. They're all on our website, and there's too many to name, but they're doing a great job of encouraging local young people to be active.
So we've seen the City of Culture just kind of pass by now, and I think something I saw was the how the city participated. So in a couple of ways, one was around going to events, as Councillor Khan said, this is a free event that people can kind of turn up to. The other side was around the city hosts and the volunteering side. Are there opportunities for kind of our local people to be involved?
Yes, so we're still out recruiting for volunteers, so we're looking for people to support the event in a whole variety of ways. We've been really lucky. We've already got over 250 volunteers signed up and ready to go, but that doesn't mean we don't need more. But there are a whole host of ways in terms of meeting and greeting people. Obviously, people with additional language needs would be massively supportive to us. But it's just a great opportunity to experience this event and meet over 1,500 young people from across the world. So it's a brilliant, vibrant activity that people will absolutely enjoy and enjoy being part of.
Can you mention the ages, John, just so we can...
So in terms of the ages of the competitors, they're between the age of 12 and 15. Our team, Coventry team, at the minute, we've got over 86 athletes. So 86 athletes selected across all the sports. That's obviously got a whole support coaching staff behind that. But yeah, it's going to be a huge...
And the volunteer age?
And volunteer age is anything over the age of 18.
I always think that volunteering is a great way to bulk up your CV, particularly at a young age. I think I've said before that I did some volunteering here at the council house when I was just finished uni to help bulk up my experience. I think if we have got our young people in the city who want to have something that's on their CV, I think that is a good opportunity.
Oh yeah, it absolutely is. And we're working with a number of organisations to encourage some young people to be part of that volunteering process too. And it's a great opportunity for any major event. And we're really lucky to have the volunteers that we've got in Coventry. We've got the only volunteers left from 2012. That's continued, and they've experienced so many wonderful events in Coventry to kind of move forward. So really proud of that.
I think I would just like to say that, you know, we will definitely recognise our volunteers. We always have. We appreciate the work they do and they will do. And I can assure you that we will definitely give them recognition, and we're sure that it will uplift their CV, and it will also support maybe some brilliant training and some brilliant experiences that will support them throughout their life as well.
So I've got two young boys myself. So I've got an 8-year-old and a 5-year-old. And I'm looking forward to taking them to the event to see our city's young people, to cheer them on across multiple sports. Give me some idea of how the best way people can really get involved.
So best way will be to look out on our social media channels, and they're all International Children's Games Team Coventry on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. It's on everything. So there's always stuff on there. And we'll put out a programme of when Team Coventry are competing. So whether that's be climbing, basketball, football, athletics, table tennis, whatever the sport, we'll make sure that Team Coventry, people will know when and where they're competing.
I just probably want to add, you know, I've got my sky blue jacket on now. I probably should have saved it for the game. But I think, you know, it's, I think it, get the sky blue colour out. And I think, to be honest, it'd be brilliant, you know, when Coventry's, you know, they're participating in any sport. We want to come back with, a haul of medals. And we're sure that this will inspire them to maybe go on to, you know, the most elite moments of Commonwealth Games, Olympic Games, and, you know, Commonwealth Games are coming up very soon. So there'll be even more excitement. You know, you'll show how young people can progress, because everybody has to get to that age where they may, you know, have the opportunities of getting in Commonwealth Games and other sporting events and Olympic Games. So this will really show the beginning of the journey. And then only a couple of weeks later, the Commonwealth Games will start, and it will show where the absolutely elite, you know, communities are, where they're in sporting heroes, and where that's where heroes are made.
Home advantage. I remember when London hosted the Olympic Games, the home advantage, and that spurred us on to kind of win more medals than ever before. So I think we'll all be there cheering on the day. Thank you both for your time. I'm looking forward to seeing it itself. I'm sure it's going to be an amazing event and build even more so on the previous time. Thank you very much, both.
Thanks. Appreciate that. Thank you, Aaron. Very grateful for your time.
So I'm really pleased to have John Timms with me today, who is the event director of the International Children's Games. He's going to tell us a bit more about the games operationally, and maybe a bit more about the history. I know that John was instrumental in 2005 when the city previously hosted the games. So, John, thank you for being on my podcast.
Hi, Aaron. Thanks for inviting me, Aaron. It's great to be here and to be back working in Coventry on the Children's Games. Like you said, in 2005, I was lucky enough to be the event director back then, working with Councillor John Mutton and Marley's wife, and it was instrumental in bringing the games to Coventry, and what an amazing games that was. And these are going to be even better. So looking forward to 2022.
So let's take a step back then to 2005. How did you first get involved, and what was that looking like at the time?
So we were just, I just delivered a project in Coventry, another big sports event project that we just delivered. And we were approached then by the council to say, oh, we're interested in looking at the International Children's Games. One of our councillors takes teams and we're looking to bring it to Coventry. Can you help? And that's where it started. We got involved. We helped with them bid. They won the bid. And then we were lucky enough to be appointed to help deliver the games. And that's how we got involved and started. So great, you know, great pattern really to start building from. And the fact that we did it back in 2005, it means that all those lessons learned. And it was actually the start of quite an interesting point in Coventry's delivery of major events, mm-hmm. because they went on to deliver the school games, the British transplant games, and then major events like the Olympics came, and Commonwealth Games are coming up now as well, and you know, rugby World Cups, and all those things are starting to come through, and it's part of that journey that Coventry went on.
Obviously, that was 17 years ago. That seems to be quite a short amount of time to kind of have it again. What led to the city having it again in 2022?
Well, I think it was a vision of the city. You know, Councillor John Mutton wanted to bring the games back again. The Commonwealth Games are here. You know, can we link that together and find a way to try and do that? I think one of the big things there is we're coming off the back of a worldwide pandemic. Coventry's a city, you know, peace and reconciliation city, you know, talks about how it brings communities together and internationally, not just within Coventry. And here's an opportunity to link all that together and bring the young people together and to help these young people recover from a worldwide pandemic and how it's affected them. And now we've also obviously got a war and conflict in the Ukraine as well. And we've actually got a city from the Ukraine attending with some young people.
And in your role, and in particular around bringing that kind of the bid and bringing it back, what was your role in particular to kind of facilitating that?
So we helped, Aaron, we helped the city pull the bid together. We helped look at the feasibility. Feasibility is quite easy. We knew that we could host it. We've already done it. So that, and actually, we've got better facilities since 2005. We've got newer facilities and refurbished facilities. So we're in a good position there with regards feasibility-wise. That wasn't difficult to do. Then it was about putting budgets together, looking at costs and supporting the council and getting that through a process to be able to bid. Then writing a bid and presenting a bid. And all that was done back in a few years ago now. And we were successful and the city was successful in its bid and here we are.
I spoke to Laura from the City of Colchester who told me around how things, once you know you've won the bid, actually overnight, then things have to change. I'm sure that was the same with this.
Yeah, you know, there's always there's quite an interesting model of about winning, bidding and winning for events and what happens. And you can look at that model and we're now in that stage where now we've got to deliver and we're at that point now. But when you first win the bid, there's a moment of like jubilation. Oh, brilliant, we've got this. And then realisation sets in next. It's like, oh, wow, we've got to do it now. We've said we can do it. Now we've actually got to do it. So it does change a little bit. But the good thing is in Coventry's experienced. So the people that we're working with are all very experienced at delivering major events and sports events, the partnerships, the projects that are in place, the different stakeholders that we've got in CV Life and the council and the universities, all coming together to make this work as a team. They're all experienced and they all know what needs to happen. And without that, it would make life more difficult.
Yeah, I'm sure, as you say, that it was a benefit to the city that we'd previously held it. How much of what came before were we able to use, or was it a case of actually we could learn from it, but we were starting from scratch?
It is always a start from when you're 17 years apart, the world's changed. Things are done differently now. You know, there's huge influence about climate and sustainability that we were obviously conscious of back in 2005. We were not sat there, but it didn't have the focus that it's now got. And we now want to make sure we're doing a much better job and how we're doing that through our electric vehicles that we're using and, you know, looking at how we can reduce transport costs and transport use and then looking at how we work with the university around the Games Village and food waste and, you know, and not using plastic and all those elements that you would consider normal now. In 2005, yes, we wanted to recycle, but it was still lots of plastic bottles and cups everywhere and all those things. So we look at those are the things that have changed dramatically since then. Yes, you learn. I think what you learn, what you keep the most of is you understand the ethos, the culture and what to expect and how it will happen. What's not changed much is the sport. You know, that's still people competing, as I always say, step across the white line or onto court or whatever it is. That's not changed dramatically, but so that we understand what's going to happen. But it's how you deliver around that now that's changed. New systems, new security systems, safeguarding, all those things that we're putting in place. We're there in 2005, but now there's more focus, system, better systems in place to use.
So we have, a month and a bit to go. What's the current stage of planning? I know with these things, there's lots of planning early doors, and then there's a stage where you actually can't plan anymore until it actually gets there. What's it looking like at the moment?
We're just in the final throes of detail, is what we call it. You know, which you can head down too far down detail valley, so we're not going to go too far. We are in that process of getting to the delivery point. But it's just pulling all the detail together now. All the key plans are in place. All the key structures and delivery partners are in place. And it's just fine-tuning all that into a great delivery model.
And then when the games arrive, what does that look like for you? Is that a time to kind of almost go, oh, you can put your feet up and watch all of this amazing sport? Or is that the actual crunch time?
Aaron, that's exactly what should happen. It never does. So I always think, for me personally, it's a wonderful time when people arrive because you just get embroiled in trying to make this look real and then it becomes real very quickly. I always love when the volunteers arrive on site. You know, we're going to have somewhere around 300, 400 volunteers working across this event. And when they get involved and you watch them working with people and then and promoting Coventry and the region and embracing the event and wanting people to have a good time, that's when it becomes really real for me. And you meet the volunteers and then the people arrive. And you've got all these young people from across the world that just, you know, they're inspiring really in many ways. You know, I can sit there and be happily inspired. My role during the games is to make sure if anything's not going well, put it right as best as we can. My main role is to make sure everybody's safe. So in 2005, we had some big issues around that. So the day before On the day of our opening ceremony was July the 7th, mm-hmm. 2005, and London mm-hmm. happened that morning, and Coventry City Centre got closed down because mm-hmm. of a suspected package, and we had an opening ceremony for 5,000 people wow. at the new rugby stadium, the Butts Arena, mm-hmm. Butts Park. So that caused us some issues when we had to make sure everybody was safe and all those types of things. So my key role is to make sure everybody's safe and they have a good time. And then my happiest point, believe it or not, will always be when we put them on the bus back to the airport.
So Councillor Carr mentioned when I spoke to him, and you mentioned around the kind of the green side of the bid and why that was so important, and obviously delivering it through. Is there any examples in particular? I know we talked about the taxes. Is there anything in particular that people wouldn't have expected to happen?
One of the things we did with our transport partnership with National Express is that we only wanted to use electric vehicles uh-huh. or hybrid vehicles, mm-hmm. and they've actually brought a fleet of electric vehicles in, you know, big coaches and double decker buses, mm-hmm. all electric vehicles. For us to use during the game. So that was quite an important yeah. thing that we did. We're looking at, food waste. Mm-hmm. We're looking at moving back away from plastic use significantly across the games, and how do we reduce that and go into more sustainable products that can be reused. Managing the menus is, you know, I always think when it comes to food, is hospitality when you're hosting people is a huge thing. You know, if you're staying somewhere, mm-hmm. how your room is and how you sleep and what food you get and mm-hmm. is a massive, massive element.
Particularly for athletes as
For athletes as well. Yeah. Now, we're blessed by the fact that we arrived 3 days after the Commonwealth Games, leave the University of Warwick, yeah. and we're using the same Games Village, yeah. we're using the same catering, okay. We've even got the same menu plan.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's a wonderful thing that the university is helping us with, and we've built on that mm-hmm. for our athletes. But the key thing is we know that they're working so hard to maintain. How do we make sure we don't waste food? How do we make sure that we're not using plastic as much? How can we reduce that level? And all those things. And it's a process that we've developed together with them.
Yeah. And I think it's without saying that we're going to be the greenest international children games.
I think definitely, yeah. So we our plan is to be the greenest. We're looking to how we can, after the games, is how do we continue that message? How do we support that? Huge element that we're doing at our games is actually we've got a climate conference okay. built into the games. Okay. So for young people, targeting young people, we're working with the National Energy Initiative to bring a workshop that's going to travel around the game sites that young people can learn about climate control, about the effects of generating power and using fuels and modern power generation for wind, solar, tidal, and how that works. And there's a workshop, and actually people from Coventry can attend these as well. They're going to be in some public sites and locations as well to learn about how energy is used and how it works and basically trying to protect the planet.
Any final tips from you about how local people can get involved?
We'd encourage people to come along and watch any of the sport, the venues that are out there. Swimming would be a great one to go and see at Alan Higgs. There's, you know, wonderful swimming pool facility there, and you're going to see some world-class junior swimmers taking part in swimming there. But across all the sports venues, you'd be able to see. Climbing is one of the great sports. It's quite new to the children's games, and we're blessed with an amazing climbing facility at the University of Warwick. So, and you can see football at Coventry University as well at the Westwood Heath playing fields and see some high quality football as well that's taking place, and all the other sports, tennis, track and field, table tennis. There's going to be some really good sports being played. What I would really ask, if I could ask anything, Aaron, ask the people of Coventry to just come and welcome these people, make them feel welcome, come out and support them and cheer them on, and because some of these young people are coming to possibly having one of the best life experiences ever, and they're having it in your city.
Did it go without saying that these are going to be future Olympians?
Yes, they're examples of gold medalists from the Olympics and the last Olympics that are competing in the children's games. So yeah, definitely, there'll be future Olympians here in Coventry.
So as somebody who has been brought up in the city, I cannot imagine how it must be feeling for the two young people I have in front of me who are going to be representing the city as part of the International Children's Games. I'm really pleased to have Eve and Sophie with me, who are both Coventry swimmers, and they're going to tell me what it's like to be representing the city, perhaps some of their background in the city, and what it means to be the face of the city for the International Children's Games. Hello both, how are we?
Good. Good, thank you.
So what I'm going to do first then is ask Eve about how you first got into swimming.
Well, I started swimming lessons because it was like a safety precaution. But then someone came to cover my swimming teacher and said that I'd be good at swimming. So when I trialled out for Coventry and got in and just progressed from there.
And what age did you start swimming then, really early?
Yeah, 3 months-ish.
What, from when you were 3 months? Yeah, so when, I thought you meant 3 months ago. I was about to say you're representing Coventry and you started 3 months ago. So I remember when I've got two young boys and we took our boys swimming out of that young age and they encourage you to dunk them under the water and let them go. So, but it's, I think it's really important. I'm going to be really honest with both of you two here. I am not the best of swimmers. So I had swimming lessons when I was young and stopped. And now with my boys, I'm really trying to encourage them to swim because of that safety thing of if they ever fell into somewhere that they'd be fine. Sophie, tell me about your swimming history.
Okay, so my mum used to swim for Leicester and then my dad played water polo and then my mum started playing water polo. So they were very, well, they were always in the water. So when I was like 6 weeks old, I think they took me to the pool. And from then I've just kind of swam.
You swam?
Since then. And I've been to different places, but I like it. It's fun.
So in terms of, obviously, you are representing the city. Have you both always been some of the best swimmers in your schools or your classes?
School-wise, yes. Not always been the best at competitions, but at a lot. I win lots of medals and things.
Yeah, there's someone in my class that also swims with us. But, like, yeah, most of the time, there's not that many people that do it competitively within the school.
So with the Children's Games coming up in August, give me an idea of how you first became part of Team Coventry.
Yes, so we filled out a form with our favourite events and races, and then the highest scoring people were picked to be part of the team.
And was that the same for you?
It's, so when you swim a competition, you get kind of points for how fast it is, and then you could put in three of what you think is your best races, and then they would count how many points you have over all of them, and the like top people with the highest points would get selected to represent Coventry.
Okay, and in terms of the games itself then, how many races will you be taking part in?
I'm not sure. I mean, a few individual, however, we have relay teams as well, so there'll be more races.
And is it like the Olympics? Do you have your, what do they call it first? I feel out my depth here now. What do they call it first? Your trials to get, kind of get into the finals? Is that how it is? Or is it a straight race and then you've got everybody in there?
Heats.
Heats. Heats, that was the word. So heats. So have you got heats before then?
Yeah.
So we have heats and then we'll have the final. But I like when it's the relay because you do, someone does a butterfly, someone does a backstroke, someone does a breaststroke, someone does a front crawl. I like that because it's fun, because everyone's cheering too and it's quite a nice atmosphere.
So for two young people who do this a lot, what are the benefits of doing swimming? What does swimming bring to your life?
A lot of, on the social aspect of it, it's very fun because there are lots of friends that you see every day but don't see all day every day.
Okay.
So it's very nice.
Yeah, I like meeting new people, and also it, sometimes I feel like it helps you just like get stuff off your mind, and also after school, and it kind of just lets you relax and do something you enjoy like every day, so it's a lot of fun.
So how many times a week do you have to, I say have to, how many times a week do you swim?
I normally swim 7 times a week.
Yeah, I do 5 because I find I enjoy it more when I don't have to do as much and I go at my own pace, but yeah.
And how do you juggle that with school? Is that something you do before or after?
So every day I swim after school 4 till 6, except from a Wednesday, which is 6 till 8. And on a Tuesday I go before school as well, so I don't swim on a Sunday. And Saturday's early in the morning, so I can do lots of homework and get it done on Saturday.
Wow, it's such a commitment that you've obviously both done it. And to do something that's that kind of intense, both, I guess it's the mind side as well, as Sophie said, is the, I used to play football, and when I finished football, I started doing running, and it was the mind side of it that was the struggling for me, was that actually I could run quite okay, but I'd get bored, and my mind would be like, just stop, you're fine now. What is it in your characters, do you think, that encourages you both to keep swimming when your mind isn't, when your mind's telling you to stop?
It's probably the competitiveness, because there's people in the group who you'll want to beat,
yeah,
and you have to keep training to beat them.
Yeah.
and it's also a lot of encouragement from coaches and things to keep going.
Yeah, I went through a time where I thought I wanted to quit and leave and not do it anymore. And then when I did move, it's just having the people around you that do believe in you and having your friends there. And I just really like when you go to competitions and the atmosphere of everyone cheering and everyone's so happy. And it's just something that I didn't really want to let go yet. So.
And how does it feel to be representing the city on such an important year? Hosting the children's games again, obviously that's a massive achievement for the city. How does it feel to be part of that team?
It feels very exciting because as COVID it hasn't happened for a while, and to be like the first team after COVID, it's very exciting.
Yeah, so even I've never been before, so I think we're both quite excited to have such a great opportunity, and especially where, like, in our hometown, to be able to represent Coventry and do it in our own pool.
So Eve mentioned some of the benefits of swimming and that social side and the competitiveness, it kind of brings it out in you. For the kind of young people at home that may be watching for the first time or listening to this even, have you got any advice about how they could start getting swimming?
I think just go to a lesson and see where it takes you.
Yeah, I feel like there's lots of things that you can start swimming. Like, there's so many places like the Excel and the Allen Higgs. And I feel like I learned to swim even if you don't want to do it competitively. It is quite fun. I remember playing, like, games with people that I knew. They're, like, friends. And just meeting new people and trying new things. And if you don't like it, then you don't have to carry on.
Amazing. Like, I'm going to be looking forward to seeing the results of all of our team Coventry, but I'll definitely be keeping an eye on how you two do. I think I spoke to Councillor Khan yesterday, who was telling me around how actually the games are ticketless, that people can come and go and watch and can see our city's athletes competing. And so I think I'd encourage people to come along. Do you think it's something that you think people would find interesting?
Yeah, if you have an interest in sport, then it will probably be very, very interesting as well to watch the games.
Yeah, and I feel like to watch our city, as well as so many other countries and cities around the world also competing, it would be quite nice to watch it, kind of like the Commonwealth Games for little kids.
Good stuff. Thank you both for your time. I'm really looking forward to seeing how you both get on. Keep doing what you're doing and make the city proud, and I look forward to seeing how you both get on. Thank you.
Thank you.